Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
You're very welcome back to the programme. 51551 is a number for your text. The European Union has expressed total confidence that an American 100% tariff on pharmaceutical products will not apply to EU member states, including here in Ireland. US President Donald Trump announced on social media overnight that he'll impose a 100% tariff on, and I quote, any branded or patented pharmaceutical product unless a company is building their pharmaceutical plant in America. And he said that'll kick in next Wednesday, by the way. Well, Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Cormac, and thanks for having me on your programme.
What a morning message that was for a Minister for Finance. But the EU has reacted strongly. They're saying with total confidence that that won't apply here. Is that your understanding as well?
It is indeed my understanding. The European Union and the Commission on our behalf negotiated a very clear agreement between the European Union and the United States that had an upward limit on tariffs of up to 15%. In any event, so many of the different companies that we have present in Ireland anyway are also significantly involved in economic activity and in new investment within America.
Okay.
So for all of those reasons, of course, we will study and take on board what the President has, you know, suddenly indicated there this morning. But we do believe we have a very robust agreement in place.
And that agreement is signed, sealed and delivered. Is that right? That agreement that caps it at 15%?
Well, the truth of it is that my really clear understanding is that is a certain and clear agreement. But Cormac, as your first question kind of lightly touched on what is a serious point, you know, that you are right, that we do hear many different announcements at the moment, that we are in an age of great uncertainty where new announcements are made on important matters. We have to respect the prerogative mm-hmm. of the American administration to do this. But just two concluding points on it is why the agreements that the EU negotiates on our behalf are so important. And secondly, it is why we need to look at factors that we can influence and can control ourselves within our own economy and that of Europe.
So you're clear on your understanding and Brussels is clear on its understanding of this US-EU agreement. Have you reached out to your counterparts in the White House or the White House administration that that's their understanding as well today?
So our Taoiseach, Simon Harris, was in Washington in the last 24 hours. My understanding is that he had a very constructive meeting with the Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, and the Taoiseach has commented publicly to that effect. I will be travelling to America myself the week after the budget. And when I'm in America, I will be engaging with many of my counterparts in the American administration to again assess where we are.
Okay, to seek further clarification.
At a political level, and I'll be playing my part mm-hmm. in that myself very shortly.
And I noted the Taoiseach's comments today that this will be studied as well. I just wonder if it's going to be studied for the wider impact in the sense that many of the pharmaceutical multinationals that are operating here, they are global multinationals. And I just wonder if the 100% tariff impacts operations that they have in other jurisdictions. Could that impact their profits, their global profits? Could that impact then investment here? Has that been assessed yet?
So the announcement is only happened today. When we say we will study it, we will indeed do that. And it will take a little bit of time to do so. That is a possibility, yes, indeed, that this could have ramifications elsewhere. But on the other side of the coin, Cormac, I have seen huge efforts for many of the large American companies who have big parts of their supply chains outside of America to accelerate their investment within the American economy. And I have seen that happen for many significant companies that are based in Ireland and in Europe. And I do think the fact that they have done so much to invest more under President Trump's administration will mean that many companies could be excluded from the announcement that President Trump made today.
Okay.
But look, I'm only reacting back to a statement which, as you said, happened earlier on today, and it is going to require a bit more consideration from us, but we are clear on the value of the agreement that we have With the United States through our membership of the European Union.
Okay, and only time will tell on that one, I suppose. Can I move on and ask you about the upcoming budget, which you'll announce quite soon? You said, I was reading today on the RTÉ website, this budget has to be one that doesn't add any risk within our economy. But you've also clarified recently that the spend will be around 9.4%, 9.4 billion, I should say, despite a warning from the ESRI and the Fiscal Advisory Council and the Central Bank that a figure or a spend of 9.4 billion is too high. But you are adding risk then, aren't you?
So I've listened to what all the institutions have said in relation to that. Same institutions have correctly called out the fact that we need to invest more within our economy and correct infrastructural deficits that we have with regard to energy and water and transport, and we are doing that. Is there a risk that our investment could create an inflationary response? There is always a risk when a government spends more that that risk could happen. As against that, there's a really clear risk in front of me that in the absence of that investment, and me and my Jack Chambers showing our country and big investors in our country that we are responding back really quickly to investment needs that they've identified. The lack of that action is also a risk.
No, but hang on.
And
hang on.
You're
but,
aware,
but you're also omitting a key element there that the Central Bank and the ESRI point to. They say, yes, of course, invest in necessary services, but you also have to broaden the tax base if you're going to spend in this way. Do you intend to broaden the tax base?
Yes, and I've done that. I have broadened the tax base in recent years by increasing carbon tax each year.
No, in this budget, I mean.
Which has been an important... I was about to go on and say I have increased carbon tax in each budget that I have done. And when I bring forward budget 2026, I will be doing the same. We have also plans in relation to PRSI, where the rate of PRSI will go up, the better fund, the pension commitments and obligations that we will have in the future. And, of course, we've also revalued our local property tax in between budgets.
You
so there are three examples where I've done it.
And they're three good examples. But notwithstanding those examples, the ESRI and Central Bank say you're too reliant in a big way on corporate taxes. And they actually have compared what you have now, what you preside over, to where we were during the Celtic Tiger era, that the narcotic high in terms of the 08, 07, 08, too reliant on construction-based taxes then, and we know what happened. We're too reliant, they say, now on corporate-based taxes. Will you broaden the tax base further?
Yes, I will, through continuing to implement the kind of measures that I've just referred to, which I've done in the past. And in relation to the charge about the similarity and where we were between 08 and 11, I was around during that period, and all of my political experience is defined by the global financial crisis and the austerity that we went through after that. And I never want to see that happen again, and I want to reduce the risk of our country ever
but
having to confront
that. They say it is happening again.
Well, Cormac, that is the very reason, though, why we are running budget surpluses. The very reason why, for years, I have been arguing for our country running large budget surpluses is so that we can reduce our reliance on corporate tax receipts. And just to bring that to life, you know, we will be able to indicate what our financial position is for 2025 next Friday, mm-hmm. when we publish our latest economic update. But for the last 2 years in particular, we've run budget surpluses of around 8.5 billion euro.
But strip away
they're
the windfall
the
taxes.
Largest
and that looks much worse.
But they are generated by the windfall taxes. They are generated by it.
But you so can't rely on the windfall taxes, is what I'm saying, in corporate taxes.
But indeed, Cormac, but on this very point, so we've run for a very, very large surplus of that level. So let's say the windfall taxes are no longer available to us. And this is the argument that I have been making for running budget surpluses. What will then happen is the reduction in windfall taxes will be absorbed by these budget surpluses falling. And it's also the reason why we have set aside in the last number of years, we've used those budget surpluses to put nearly 16 billion euro into two funds to help us deal with those risks mm-hmm. in the future. So the very person who introduced the need for it to be aware of windfall taxes and therefore to run budget surpluses, I've been making that argument for years.
But
really quickly just finish off this point. And of course, I do acknowledge there's a risk that by us investing so much and quickly into our economy in the coming years, that can create challenges for us. But I'm crystal clear, if we don't fix where we are with energy, and we don't fix where we are with water, and we don't build more homes, the social consequences of that are profound, and also the economic consequences will be really serious. And I have to deal with those risks.
How much, to move on to another topic, how much will you be using to reduce VAT for hospitality?
We'll make that decision very shortly before the budget. We have an overall tax package of 1.5 billion euro. And in light of the very important questions you put to me earlier on about protecting the tax base, I will be not spending beyond 1.5 billion euro in tax measures.
And will you target in terms of
the allocation of that 1.5 mm-hmm. billion euro to individual measures has yet to be determined.
And will you target that to businesses in the hospitality sector that actually need this VAT rate cut? Or will multi-million dollar multinationals get it as well? Because people have pointed out that that would be a waste of money.
Well, these very large employers also employ people within our country. And those jobs matter as much as other jobs too. From a tax law point of view, you cannot differentiate between different businesses just on the basis of their size. But I've already indicated in bringing forward any change with regard to VAT, my aim would be to target that with regard to accommodation as opposed to accommodation and catering.
Yeah, but the problem there, Minister, with respect,
I will explain the trade-offs in relation to that decision on budget day, because I will not go beyond 1.5 billion euro.
You did talk about the consequences before of a cut to the VAT rate. You said it would mean that there would be trade-offs and consequences, the very same words. And you said there are other things we are unable to do if we continue along this line. And that brings to mind the front page of the Examiner this morning. The planned 12 euro rise to social welfare is at risk, because the Department of Social Protection was apparently told to go back to the drawing board. Now, is the cost of giving multi-million dollar businesses a VAT rate cut, is the cost of that less of an increase for social protection payments?
Cormac, you've just spent the middle part of the interview correctly asking me I was spending too much. And now you're asking, should we not be spending more with regard to core social welfare rates?
And what's your response on that?
Of course, this is the challenge that we have. Yeah, but it's important to make the point regarding consistency, because this is the consistency we need to have on budget
day. But you have more money to spend if you target those
To answer your question, Cormac, which I will do, in terms of how we construct our budget, decisions that we make with regard to taxation are independent with regard to decisions that we make with spending. So Minister Jack Chambers, what he is doing is making the point that if we spend more in one area, it means we have to spend less in another area. No decisions have been made in relation to core rate increases in social welfare. They traditionally are not done towards the end of the budget process, which will happen in the coming days. But we will ensure that as we bring forward our budget, we include within it measures that are targeted, but also measures that do make a difference to those within our society that need and deserve help.
Okay, my final question to you is on the continued rise in homelessness. And we spoke with DePaul at the very start of the programme, and the CEO of DePaul said that what you could do in your budget is target a reduction in child homelessness by 1,000 by quarter two next year. Will you commit to that?
Well, given it a topic that is so important, which is reducing child homelessness, the last thing I'm going to do is commit to a target here to you that I'm not confident we can't absolutely deliver. What we will commit to is sparing no effort in trying to reduce the risk of homelessness for children within our country. We have been successful in supporting people avoiding the risk of homelessness and getting them out of being homeless.
Well, it continues to rise, child homelessness.
In our country, we still have too many people in our country, indeed. I was just about to acknowledge that as your major point. We still have too many people in our country at the moment who are homeless, which is why the housing budget is so high, which is why, to go back to the questions you put to me earlier on in the interview, we do have to prioritise investment.
Okay, we have over 16,350 people in emergency accommodation right now, and it's it seems, which is the point that David Carroll was making, that some people are accepting, which I know you're not, that it seems insurmountable at this point. Look, we'll talk again, hopefully very soon.
And I appreciate you recognising that, Cormac. I believe it's not insurmountable. We have to keep on trying. We have to reduce the number of people who are homeless, and we will build on that and try to address that in our budget.
Okay.
And thanks for acknowledging that point.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, Míle Buíochas Leat.